In this study, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For after that the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And God bless the reading of His Word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that You would just take our hearts and center them in on Your purpose, on Your Word, Father. Challenge us. Change us. Father, allow us to be willing to stand for You day by day. And it is in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Have you noticed that our world has become very easily offended? It doesn't take much till you've crossed a line and someone gets upset, someone gets mad, and someone complains. Today, people are offended for ridiculous reasons. People are offended when someone prays in public. They're especially offended if that prayer is offered in the name of Jesus. Our sports activities have changed. Now, when I was growing up, When we would play a game that was a school game, before that game, there would be the national anthem, and before that game, there would be a prayer. And that prayer would be to God, and most commonly, it would be in the name of Jesus offered. Nobody got upset. In fact, you were kind of relieved that someone was praying. There were people hitting each other on that field. It was a good thing. But today, people are offended. Incredibly, they're offended by our national anthem so much so that some will not even stand at its play. And they are offended by prayer. People get offended by Christian symbols. Christmas comes along and people are offended at Christmas. They don't want us to have a nativity scene in public. Has anybody ever told those people that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus? You can't take Jesus out of it because that's what it is about. One of the major complaints against Christians, especially conservative Bible-believing Christians, that's us, is that we have the nerve to proselyte. We have the gall to seek to get other people to convert to the Christian faith. We have the nerve to insinuate that people need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There's an objection to the thought of the gospel. People get offended when you insinuate that they are sinners. I don't know why anybody gets upset when we say that they're a sinner. You know, when we say that they're a sinner, we don't say you're a sinner and we're not. We're admitting we're sinners and you are too. We are all sinners, and because we are all sinners, we need a Savior. They get offended at the thought of Jesus coming for them. When you indicate that Jesus had to come and die on a cross because of their sin and because of my sin, they get offended at that concept that Jesus would bear a cross because of something that they did. They get deeply offended, hostile at times, when you tell them that if they die without Jesus as their Savior because of their sin, they will spend an eternity in a devil's hell. In fact, they get so offended at that, many churches have stopped saying it. Many preachers have stopped preaching it. But you can't preach the Bible and not preach that also. Why should a person get offended? Just think reasonably about this. If I believe that I am a sinner, and I believe that Jesus is God who came, lived a life of perfection, then offered himself on Calvary's cross for my sins and for the sins of the world, that he suffered, bled, and died for me on Calvary's cross, if I believe that receiving Jesus as one Savior is the only way, the absolute only way that a person can be forgiven, come to know God, and ever hope to go to heaven when they die, And I receive that for myself, then they got to understand, I must also follow Jesus when he commands me to get that same gospel to the uttermost ends of the world. And that includes them. Why are they offended? Why are they offended when I'm actually moving toward them in love and letting them know that I care enough about them that I don't want them to perish. I want them to have the same forgiveness and peace and joy and eternal life that I have. I'm not trying to put them down. I am trying to lift them up. I am not trying to destroy them. I am trying to preserve them. I am saying, I care enough about you that I don't want you to perish. I don't want you to die and go to hell. I want you to know God. I want you to have God's best. The tragedy at Parkland takes us back to the tragedy at Columbine and all the tragedies in between as individuals have come into our schools with weapons and killed young innocent children. How do you stop it? How do you change what's happening in America today? The only message that makes sense to make a difference is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only way to stop someone going to grab a gun and going into a school and doing great harm is to get that person to Jesus before they have that opportunity. For a person who knows the Lord, a person who walks with the Lord, is not a person that will do this type of crime. So back in Paul's day, Paul answers some important questions. He's trying to equip the Corinthian church to pull together and to get the gospel out and impact their world for Jesus. He's trying to get the Corinthian church to do what we have to do today. He's trying to get them to change their world like we've got to change our world. And to do so, he answers some important questions. There's the question, what is power? Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. Paul points out that the preaching that leads to one's salvation by the cross of Jesus Christ is seen as foolishness to them who perish. But it is power. It is the power of God. It is the power of God that can save your soul. It is the power of God that can give you eternal life. Now, the word foolishness used in the text only appears in 1 Corinthians in the New Testament. It means what you think it means. It means something silly, something ridiculous, something stupid. In today's world, the cross is come to be regarded by many as a sign of love. Even people that do not know Jesus see the cross and they understand that it means love. They don't know why it means love, and they don't need to know the Savior who causes it to mean love, but they understand that's that meaning. They see it all over the place. They can go into a building and see the cross on a wall. They see crosses on steeples, and there are people that wear crosses on a chain around their neck, and many of you have those on today. I know people that have taken a cross and they have tattooed it on their body. I don't encourage that, but they wear it anyway. And they have accepted the cross as part of themselves. But when it comes to an understanding that the cross of Jesus Christ is what you have to understand, and you have to go to the cross in order to be saved eternally, forgiven of sins, and to enter heaven, many back off from the cross. To some, it's nonsense. They don't understand. This was seen just in the past days. One of the liberal television shows, The View. I don't know if you know what The View is. I don't really care to get involved with The View a whole lot. But a group of ladies basically sit around and tear apart anything that's conservative in our land, I think is what The View is. And our vice president, Mike Pence, is a believer in Jesus Christ. He's not quiet about that at all. He is a bold believer. He proclaims publicly that not only does he know God, he has invited Jesus to come into his heart to forgive his sins and to save his souls. Praise God for a politician that unashamedly holds up Jesus. And so he was explaining his prayer life, and he was saying that he talked to God and that God talked to him. On The View, they determined that Mike Pence is insane. He thinks he can talk to Jesus and Jesus talks to him. Well, you know what? A whole bunch of us are insane too. If that makes me crazy, then that's the kind of crazy I want to be, and that's the kind of crazy I want my politicians to be. But an unbelieving world sees it as foolishness. In Paul's day, the cross was not cherished. In Paul's day, nobody would wear a cross on their person. In Paul's day, no one would have any jewelry that had the cross. Nobody would put a cross on the wall. The cross would not even be discussed in common conversations. It would have been very impolite to talk about the cross. You see, the cross was a symbol, but it wasn't a good symbol. The cross was not a symbol of love. The cross was a symbol of hatred. The cross was not a symbol of peace. The cross was a symbol of division. Early Christians did not mark their lives by a symbol of the cross, because the cross in that day was a gruesome symbol of death. People were still being hung on crosses. A Roman citizen could not die by the cross. It was too vile. Criminals, rebels, slaves, enemies of the state, those were the types of people that would be crucified. It was a sign of horror, and it was a sign of great shame. On exploring Christian catacombs in Rome, you can see some first century tombs. And you go to those first century tombs, and you see what marks them. And you know what? You won't see a cross. There will be very few crosses in your sight, but what you will see is an anchor. You see, the early Christians saw Jesus as the anchor of their soul. For Jesus is our anchor, Now, they understood that terminology. If you have a boat and you have an anchor and you drop that anchor, the boat is going to eventually drift to where over the anchor. The boat will go where the anchor is. If the anchor is planted, that's where the boat is going to end up. In early days, when they would have a storm at sea, they would not be able necessarily to get into the harbor over the sandbar that bridged the harbor. So they would actually row their anchor, put it over the sandbar in the harbor, so that when the tide came in, the water went up, their boat would be carried safely into the harbor. Jesus is that kind of anchor. Jesus is the anchor that went through the cross, that was buried, that rose again, and today that is in heaven. For those that accept Jesus, He is the anchor of our souls one day when we breathe our last. One day when we say goodbye to this planet, our life is going to go where our anchor is. Now you got to have Jesus to have that anchor. So they didn't use the cross in that day. Non-believers reject the idea of salvation through the cross. This is where a warning sign should go off in your mind. When you are told that you can go to heaven, that you can have forgiveness, that you can have peace through Jesus Christ, all you have to do is to receive Him into your heart, turn from your sins, receive Jesus, and you can be eternally saved. When people see that as foolishness, when they see it as ridiculousness, a warning light should go off in your mind and head. It's like, warning, warning, Will Robinson. You got to be real old to get that. To reject the truth of salvation through the cross is to be perishing. That's what Paul says here. You ever heard John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not, what? Perish. Perish is not a good thing. When you reject Jesus, you reject hope, you reject God's plan, you reject life's purpose. Every day lived without Jesus is a lost day. It is a perishing day. If you continue to reject Jesus Christ, if you die without Jesus as your Savior, then you will perish. This word does not mean a one-time hiccup or one-time horror or hurt. It means a continuing torment. Without Jesus, you lose each day of this life. You lose your future on this earth, and you are moving toward a place of eternal damnation. You are continually perishing. What about those that accept Jesus? What about those who receive the work that Jesus did on the cross? Here's where the power comes in. You see, the lost are in the process of perishing, but when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you turn from your sin, when you receive Him as Savior and Lord, accepting His blood-bought forgiveness of the cross, God's power comes into your life and for your life, and you are in the process of being saved. At the very moment you accept Jesus as your Savior, God's power forgives you of your sin. Forgives you of your sin yesterday, forgives you of your sin today, and forgives you of your sin for all your tomorrows. You are saved from your past. Then you're being saved day by day in the present. And God's power is available to draw you closer to Jesus day by day, and you will be saved in the future. Every day with Jesus really is sweeter than the day before. Every day is a day to avail yourself more and more of His love and power, and to allow Him not only to live in you, but to live through you. Well, what about my future? You know, it'd be a surprise to you. I'm not perfect. What if I fall? I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I've accepted what he did on Calvary's cross. But what about if I mess up? Well, if that's your thought, friend, let me clear it up for you. It's not what if you mess up, it is when you mess up. We're not perfect. We are a saved sinner. We are not perfect, but we should be moving closer and closer to the Lord as we live. You will fall. But when you fall, the same Jesus that is the answer to save you in the first place is the answer to pick you up when you fall. Think about it. Christians, whose blood forgives you of sins? That was a question, expected an answer. Whose blood forgives you of sin? That's good. How many of your sins were in the future when Jesus died for your sins on Calvary's cross? All of them. Now, either his blood can cover all your sins, those that are in the past, those that are today, and those that are in the future, or his blood can cover none of your sins and we are all lost. You see, I did not save myself in the past. I cannot save myself in the present, and I certainly cannot save myself in the future. It is all by Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. When I breathe my last, I pray for whatever time I have left. I don't know how long that will be or how short that will be, but I pray for whatever time I have left, I will follow Jesus till my dying day. But if not, if I mess up, God is not looking to my perfect life for my salvation. No, he is looking to the perfect sacrifice by Jesus on Calvary's cross, where Jesus bled and died, and his blood covered all my sin for all time. That's pretty neat. Now, that doesn't mean, okay, I'm forgiven, I go out and do whatever I want to do. No, if you love Jesus, you don't want to do it. You want to try to live for him. You want to try to make things right. But when you do mess up, he's got you covered. And we confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus has saved me, he is saving me, and he will save me. And if you have Jesus as your Savior, that is your testimony too. And if you don't know Jesus, that is the testimony we want you to have. What is preaching? Verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Verse 18 says, the preaching of the cross. Verse 21 says, the foolishness of preaching. Verse 23 says, we preach Christ crucified. That word preaching in 118 is logos. It means the word, doctrine. This is not saying that the act of conveying the message is foolishness, even though you may think it is. It is saying that lost people see the actual message of the atoning work of Jesus on the cross as foolish. Those that don't accept the salvation of Jesus, who see salvation through the cross as foolishness, are perishing. It pleased God to save those who will accept the preaching of the gospel. And if you are saved today, it is because you have accepted the preaching of the gospel. Now, we are to preach not only from pulpits, not only from platforms. We are to preach one-on-one. We're supposed to tell other people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, we need to offer for others. God will save those who will repent of their sins and come to Him for salvation. Here it is clear, preaching needs to have the cross as it at its ultimate focus. There is a danger in churches today. There is a danger where preachers are leaving the gospel out, leaving the cross out, leaving the blood of Jesus out. Listen, if you leave those things out, you're leaving salvation out. You may talk about many things in a sermon, and you may have heard and endured many things in a sermon. But any message that is preached for Jesus needs to lead people to Jesus. And ultimately, there has to be the cross. It is what God uses to save those that are lost. W.A. Criswell, great pastor, First Baptist Dallas, over 50 years, preached a message called The Crimson Thread. And he took people on a journey through the entire Bible, and he told them how the blood of Jesus Christ is in Genesis all the way to Revelation. And you know what? He is absolutely right. The Bible is a hymn book. It is all about Him, and it tells us how He came for you and for me. That is preaching. What is preferred? Verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is mightier than men. The Jews were looking for a sign. Now, the sign they were looking for was a Messiah that would come in power, overthrow the Romans, and give them a seat of power. The Jews wanted power. They wanted power on the earth. The Greeks, now definition time. Jews are Hebrews, born as Hebrews. They are racially Hebrews, okay? Greeks, everybody else. Doesn't matter whether you are from Greece or not. If you're not a Jew, you're a Greek. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Same kind of concept. The Greeks were some of the wisest people to ever live. Don't pat yourself on the back too hard. They elevated their wisdom above all others. They thought because of their wisdom, they knew everything. The Jews were seeking power so that they would have power to battle anything they face. The Greeks were seeking wisdom because they would be able to reason their way to God. The Jews felt if they could get enough power, they would be able to overcome Rome, but overcome anything. The Greeks felt if they could gain enough wisdom, they wouldn't have to have a God, they would be God. And that's the way people live today. There are still people seeking power. They think they can achieve a standing by being strong. But that standing will not give them eternity. Others are planning their own way to God. They think that they know how to get to God. They think they're better than somebody else, and they just got their map way in, and they think in their own minds, if God takes anybody, God's got to take them. But their reasoning is flawed. You cannot outthink, outsmart the all-knowing, all-powerful God. You can't have more power than the God of the universe that put the universe together. If you would come to God, you've got to come humbly through the cross. Now that was true in Paul's day. That is true in our day. You've got to receive Jesus as your Savior. Turn from your sins. Turn to Christ. Believing that He died for you on Calvary's cross, was buried, that He rose again, and He wants to come into your heart, and He will save you if you will allow it. If you will open the door of your heart, He will come in and He will save your soul. Not for a day, not for a week, but for an eternity. That's the salvation we must preach. That's the message that we have to get out. That's the challenge that you and I both have to make to everybody we come in contact with. How can we love Jesus and not love others enough to want them to know Him? And if they know Him, they will come through the cross. today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to come to Jesus. If you're in this room and you have never invited Jesus to be your Savior, I don't care whether you've joined a church or not, have you ever invited Jesus to be your Savior? If you have not, you must. And this is your time. In just a moment, we'll be down here. Just come up and say, I want Jesus. We know what that means. We will pray with you. Jesus will come into your heart, not because we pray with you, but because he said he would if you sincerely desire him. And today, you will be saved. Believers, we have a job. Our job is to follow Jesus. Our job is to serve Jesus. And if you are not doing so, you need to commit yourself to do so. And serving Jesus means we got to get the gospel out to those that are around us. If a lost world is going to get saved, if we're going to change America, if we're going to make it safe for our children, we've got to get the lost to Jesus. Would you commit yourself as a believer to do that today? Maybe today there's something troubling you. Maybe today you're overpowered by some grief or some situation in your life. Would you bring it to Jesus? Just bow before him, put it in his hands, and Jesus will carry you through. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for our time together today. We thank you, Father, for your word of the gospel. We pray, Father, that you would move in our hearts, that you would draw us to decisions we need to make. Father, for those that are here that don't have Jesus, that today they would be willing to come. If they're unsure, let them come and get sure. Father, that they might turn from their sins, turn to Jesus, be gloriously saved, and it will all happen today. Father, for believers, that we would commit ourselves, Father, unselfishly to bow before you, to serve you, to give you our all. And Father, I pray that you would meet us at our point of need. Draw us to decisions we need to make. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, you come.